Stephen and I are going to be talking about powerful habits. I'm just going to give you a bit of introduction. Stephen and I have been working together for a few years now, and he is across the pond over in California. He built a very large marketing business and transformed it into a $1 billion-a-year enterprise. So he knows about powerful habits, and I'm sure we're going to dig deep into those. But I've been doing a bit of research into this myself. Welcome, Stephen. It's lovely to see you.
Always, it's my pleasure.
Thank you. So, like I said, I've been doing a bit of research into this, and there's a lot of false information. People seem to think that you build a habit in 30 days, but according to the European Journal of Social Psychology, it took an average of 66 days to form a new habit. But this ranges from actually 18 to 254 days. And the study also found that people were more likely to stick with a new habit if they made it small and easy one to start with. And talking about that, I mean, I think morning routine is probably something that we should dig into before we go through this pretty seriously interesting list, actually. So, you know me, I try and get up early, but I find it quite difficult because I have jiu-jitsu in the evening. So getting up really super early, I did that for 8 years. I got up 5 a.m. every day, did 2 hours training, ate some food, drank some coffee, went to work, right? But you, Stephen, you're a different when it came to the factory that you ran, when you went into the operations side of the business, that obviously changed your morning routine, didn't it?
Oh, I changed that and working on two continents at the same time with 9 hour time differences and more. It changed all my habits. I got very confused about morning and night and all of that. And yeah, when you have a workforce that works 24 hours a day and you're involved at the very, very, very human level, it is a good thing for the many, many people that you lead in one way or another to see you at 2 in the afternoon and 2 in the morning and 6 in the morning. It just creates a sense of family, belonging, commonality of interest and success among your people. But you know what? The routine part, you get up in the morning and you follow routine. For me, it's blurred by the schedule that we keep. For those of you listening, Nathaniel and I spend a great deal of time together, and we live 9 hours apart. So what's late night, it's not uncommon for my morning to be his midnight and the other way around. But I think that he is very disciplined when it comes to his typical routine. And that's part of the key for him accomplishing as much as he does in the course of a day. So please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think so recently I've been doing a lot of studying into kind of health and fitness and saunas and, you know, the benefits of cold pools and all sorts of, you know, weight training, the benefits of weight training. But the most important thing that I've discovered in the last month is actually drinking 2 liters of water as soon as I wake up in the morning. And that is, I have a couple of vitamins and 2 liters of water, and I can actually feel my face tighten after I've fairly slowly drunken this 2 liters of water. And it's absolutely amazing because obviously to have good skin, you need to be hydrated, and to function as close to 100% as you can, you need to be hydrated. And this involves having good nutrition as well, and also supplements as well. So if you need to supplement your diet with extra protein, with vitamins, and actually looking into this and your exercise regime is very, very important, and actually how you recover from your exercise. Some people listening to this, you may not exercise at all. Then, you know, you may want to exercise. If you want to exercise, my advice is to start off small, build your habits daily, and improve. Would you agree with that, Stephen?
Oh, without a doubt. Exercise is the benefits of exercise are absolutely range across your whole being, every functionality, your brain, your digestive tract. Those of us that work, as you and I do, and travel as much, we know a lot about digestive health just as a function of being spending all those hours in those pressurized zero humidity airplanes. You know, I'm giggling because I drink a great deal of water. I happen to like water. I don't drink anything else. But 2 liters when I wake up, now that I would find a little ambitious. So I congratulate you on being, by comparison to you, I'm a really good water retentive camel. So, there's millions of pages written on what you summarize so succinctly. Yeah, try to get you a day, an optimum performance without being properly conditioned. Hydrated, proper nutrition, exercise. When you get in your workout in the morning, Nathaniel, and those of you listening to this, Nathaniel has a 7-day-a-week habit of working out in the gym, and then several days a week, jiu-jitsu, a couple hours of that. When you do that morning workout, whatever the heck it is, maybe it's a little brisk walk, whatever the heck it is, it adds hours to your ability to function into the night. I know the difference because I've also had an exercise habit my whole life at significant levels. And take 2 days off and 8 o'clock in the evening, I'm dragging. I want to go to sleep, get some exercise, meaningful exercise. I'm good for 18, 19 hours a day. So I'm simply adding unnecessary clarification to what you just said.
Thank you. I mean, I think from my point of view, having really good recovery is really important. So taking enough rest. I mean, as we get older, we don't need as much rest as adults, but and as you get older, apparently that actually gets less as we get older. So I'm actually doing 7 hours sleep a day, and I set my Alexa to wake me up. But I was having real problems with snoozing, and this is the worst thing that you can do is to snooze, because we're in a process of training your brain here. This is about training your brain. And the moment you allow your brain to get lazy and say, oh, it's okay, oh, it's nice and warm in this bed, I'm gonna sleep an extra half an hour, oh, let's snooze. And then you snooze for another half an hour and another half an hour. And you, before you know it, you're sleeping 11 hours a day. Believe me, I've done this, right? And you're depressed because you're oversleeping. You don't have as much energy as you would before. So I have done this amazing thing, and I've got a light bulb that actually connects with my Alexa, and that will wake me up. As soon as my alarm is cancelled, the light bulb comes on in my room. And that really is just a secondary thing to alert your brain that the fact is you're getting up, that's what it is, and there you are. But each person is different in their habits and in their biorhythms. I don't know a massive amount about biorhythms, but my mother, bless her soul, rest her soul, she told me I was born at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm a morning person. But then working with Stephen quite a lot over in America and doing jiu-jitsu class in the evening at finishes at 9:30, I generally don't go to sleep till 12. So for me, my 5 a.m., which I used to love, is not on the cards these days. And that may change as things change with the times of classes and stuff. Excuse me. But I think it's really important to actually sit down and take the time to prioritize things, Stephen. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. My clock is a little bit different because of the way my brain functions. And I'm not advocating this, but one of the complaints my wife has is that, hey, do you ever shut it down? You know, there will come a time in my life when I will shut everything down at the same time. So if I have something on my mind, I will work the same at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. Also, those of us have spent so much of our lifetimes working, thinking, performing on behalf of this amazing animal called a client. I've had the good fortune to work with big brands from Apple to Xerox and everybody in between. And when your client calls you and they have the biggest bank around calls and say, oh boy, we have this issue. I never had the option to say, I'll call you back tomorrow, because then I'd never call again. When a board says, can you be in Connecticut tomorrow at 9? The answer is, I'm going to figure out a way to get there by 9. It's a red eye. But the whole, look, things work differently for different people. It's what you said. Now, the problem with that is that when people underperform or do things that we characterize bad habits, they'll look at you and say, well, that works for me. Okay, now there's only one problem with that. It limits you. It doesn't really work for you. And by contrast to good routines, good habits versus bad habits, how long does it take to develop that good habit and ingrain it? A month, two, three, it takes time. Do you know how long it takes to get a bad habit? 10 minutes. You know how long it takes to break a bad habit? Now, that depends. There are some habits that become endemic to you. They're lifetime habits. Some you never break. Some you can break. You can cure stuff. But all of a sudden, your focus is on quitting a bad habit. Some brilliant guy once told me that you can break any habit in 10 days. When he told me that, I broke the habit of talking to him, because he's clearly an idiot. Now, so there's so much in life that you can create a routine out of. And if you have a very busy and efficient life, you will create routines. Might as well create what Nathaniel calls positive habits, crucial habits. Make those routines habitual, positively habitual. And what's fascinating to me in our conversations, we're talking about some of these, there are certain habits that are so astoundingly common to successful people. It's like, wow, is it true? 90% of successful people do that. 90%? I used to say, there isn't anything that 90% of people do. But it's not true. Now, and it's so much of what we do here, obviously, we talk about success in many, many different ways. Heck, we just did a terrific audio, I hope you'll listen to it, on wasting time, on the efficacy of wasting time. But we talk about how to waste that constructively, that add to your road to success. So, you know, if you allow me, again, Nathaniel and I kind of prepared, I think we prepared exactly 6 one-line bullet points for this. Why? Because we've been talking about this for a year. Speaking of 90%. Now, Nathaniel and I are both authors. Thank you for reading our stuff. We're broadcasters. We are advisors to interesting companies. My colleague here is an IBM guy. You can't get much better than be a consultant to IBM. So I'm not telling you this because we write, but a great study out of one of our fantastic universities, or they used to be before they became something else. I don't know what they are. I want my money back. A study said that 90% of wealthy people devote at least 30 minutes a day to reading, and it's mainly self-improvement. Now, let me be clear. That could be financial news. It's also world politics. It's also economics. It's what's happening in school. 90%. Astounding, isn't it? They devote at least 30 minutes a day reading that stuff. Now, I know people who read everything. They read stuff on the back of parking tickets. They study the little plate in the elevator, the warning plate. They read everything. That's exhausting, but that's how they work. But they read back to please buy our books. Thank you. Now, the next thing that I struggle with in our relationship with Nathaniel, because we have 19 different things that we're pursuing at the same time. Nathaniel will say, is the guy who will say, okay, let's prioritize. Okay, good. Stop. Evaluate what you're into. What's important? What's not important? Spend your time wisely. Prioritize. If you don't prioritize your tasks every single day, you will fail. Of course, we've written and talk about setting goals. Every successful person has goals. They set goals. And now, in terms of goals, prioritizing, etc., and good habits, every goal you're pursuing, look at it every day. Track your results every day. This is what I'm going to do toward that end. And then you can adjust, you can change, you can do all that stuff, but you pursue it. I urge you all to listen to and read up on Nathaniel's work on resilience. Big topic. Oh, you know, something didn't go my way. Oh my God, I'm going to go into funk for a day or a week or 2 weeks and become totally useless. Wrong. Nathaniel's written a volume of work on resilience. Don't give up. Here's how to be resilient. Last but not least, and it's to me a guiding light for my life. We've talked about, I write a lot about philosophies of life. I have mine. And if you want to read about that, you can. It's all over philosophies of life. One of those, and this is a habit. I promise you this is a habit. I have an imaginary teleprompter in front of my face, which every day compels me to pursue what I think is critical to success. Bottom line, you have to seek knowledge everywhere and from everyone. And knowledge is ubiquitous. You can live 10 lifetimes and not scratch the amount of knowledge that's out there, but it's out there. So the habit I have created, and I will have this until my last day on this earth. I say knowledge is everywhere. Two, the only thing in life, in the world, that's truly perishable is time. We can buy more apples when they go rotten, but we can't buy time. It's not evergreen. It's this moment in time will never happen again. So I say, as a habit, and I practice this now, it's become so ingrained in my psyche that I just kind of become aware of it. I urge everyone who cares to listen to this guy talk, is that if you go through any given day, every day, and you cannot identify three things that you have learned that day, they're new to you, or they crystallized for you, you know, one of those, oh, I never thought about it that way. And by the way, it doesn't matter if the rest of the world already knows all this, but it's crystallized to you. Three, just three. If you can't, at the end of the day, identify those three new things you learned today, you wasted the most precious commodity we have. Bottom line, by the way, it doesn't make any difference if, oh, everybody else knows this, new to me. The newborn, every joke is new. I promise you, and if you've tried to do this and it doesn't work for you, you can get your money back from me for this broadcast. That if you do that through your day, part of your routine, part of your good habit is to identify stuff that's new to you. Hey, I've never seen that before. Whatever it is. And if you identify three things, your brain will be like your biceps. The more you exercise them, the bigger it gets. And sounds terrible, but I promise you, just do that. Every day. At some point, you will feel it. You will feel your own capacity grow. You will smile when people talk about this, that, the other. Why? Well, you thought about that already. Or you will say, well, I know something you may not know. I'm not suggesting you be arrogant about the knowledge, but be really self-satisfied in knowledge you gain. You will grow as a person. You'll certainly grow as a thinking individual. And by the way, how's that for adding to your path to success? Hey, you just be bigger, better, stronger. Just like your biceps might be if you do 500 curls every morning. This is vitamins and food for your brain. That would be one of the, I think that may be, I think that is the most productive habit I have.
Yeah,
and I'm aware of it.
I agree with that. I think about that every day. When I finish my day, I think about that a lot, you know. But I think having hobbies and having things that you need to learn are really, really important. And taking the time to actually step back from where you are and think, well, these habits that I have aren't really very good. And if as long as you can understand the fact that you perhaps have some bad habits, we all have bad habits. We might drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. We might lay on the sofa too much. We might watch too many Netflix series. We might eat too much. We might do all sorts of things that aren't really very supportive to our life that we actually want to create. So my advice is actually really to guard yourself from other people. And if other people are affecting your life negatively and they have bad habits, then perhaps you need to make some new friends or limit your exposure to certain people. Because there's a saying that actually you are the sum of the 10 people you hang out with the most. I would probably say it's actually the 5 people, or maybe 6. And I think that includes people who are online, and it includes people who are offline and face to face with you. And these things are really important. And you know, if you want to play at the highest level or in anything, business, sport, photography, whatever you want to get really, really good at, if you cultivate positive relationships and surround yourself with great people like Stephen J. Manning as one example, you will improve your life. And I think for me that's the most important thing is having people who are in your corner, who positively encourage you and understand you and understand where you need help. Those things are really, really important.
Nathaniel, but for the fact that you're obviously right, I might blush. I promise you the feeling is mutual.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we would not be doing this every day, one way or another, in the middle of the night. Surrounding yourself with people that are good for you is critical. It's remarkable how much easier it is to be infected by negative people than it is to benefit from positive people. Particularly if you happen to be a nice person, a good person, a righteous person, negative people are looking to you so you can take title to their negativism. Oh, you know what? I dump my bad stuff on Nathaniel. I feel a lot better. Let him worry about it. I have a partner in my misery. How does that make sense to anybody? So yes, positive relationships. And by the way, they are not that easy to come by. It has to do, to some extent, you have to differentiate between family and friends. No, to a large extent. See, the difference between family and friends is your family, you got. You inherited them. You stuck with them, by and large. Friends, positive relationships, that's a much more elegant proposition. You got to nourish those. You got to nourish those. And they are fragile. So yes, Nathaniel, absolutely. Cultivate your positive relationships. Surround yourself with great people. And there's one comment on great people, which I found, and I find it so fascinating. I've had the pleasure and privilege to meet some interesting people, as have you. For those of you listening the first time, Nathaniel's interviewed 300,000 or 400,000 people, among them world-class authors and sports figures and a couple of members of parliament. I mean, you know, you get a lot from being around greatness. There's nothing like being around greatness. But surrounding yourself with those people, the fascinating thing is that you can nourish those relationships. You can reach out to a phenomenally successful person or a real accomplished person and say, hey, can you help me with something here? I'd love to know this. You know what? I don't. Can you like share? And you will find out that most of those, the top of the top, the best of the best, the greatest achievers are very glad to share. Very glad to share. A couple different reasons. Makes them feel good is bottom line. But for, you know what? And it's it, and you ask, and why do they do that? 99% of the time, the quid pro quo is you're grateful. Thank you very much for help. How can I reciprocate? I've had a chance to say that to some people that I was stunned that would take my call. And the answer was, well, next time you happen to be here, you can buy me a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee to get a great piece of somebody's world wisdom. A great lesson from this talk, among other things, is don't be bashful. The best of the best, the top of the top, the most accomplished people are really glad to give you some of their time. Hard to get to them, but once you're there, it's an amazing thing. It is part of success to be a shameless researcher. And yes, of all the habits we're talking about here, perhaps the most impactful would be to have positive relationships around you. That's 24/7. And surround yourself with great people. Ford used to say that, Ford said, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not that smart, I just hire a lot of really smart people. And his point was, everybody works for me smarter than I am. You know what? That's surrounding yourself with great people. And, you know, in my limited life, I hired capacity and attitude. I didn't hire skill sets. We can't teach skill sets, can't teach positivity, can't teach great people. You know, in the biggest business that I was part of, Nathaniel, it was a very interesting paradigm on how we got paid. We got good salaries, but we also got bonuses. Now think about bonus structures. My bonus was 95% of my income. Now, the typical exec, if you didn't earn 50% of your selling bonuses, you were unemployed.
Wow.
One of the characteristics, their goals. Oh, we were goals. Oh, we were so goals heavy, it was nauseating. But their corporate goals had to do, there were five. One of them was had to do with insolvency, minimizing potential for insolvency. Number two, maintain a positive and cooperative attitude at all times. Okay, somebody explain to me what that means. Put that in the right terms. I don't know, but I do know that when you're in a big conference room having a meeting, you can be forceful, you can be contentious, you can be whatever, but you better have a positive attitude about all that, or your bonus just got cut. Because the guy sitting over there decides on your bonus. The lady over there approves it. I think Steve's being negative. That's not a good thing for us. No, the numbers are great, but he's negative. Whoops. The sound you hear is your bonus dropping. So I think I grew up in an environment like that where particularly difficult for people who are as aggressive as I am. You mean I can't sit there and say, excuse me, what you said is idiotic. No, you can't say that. That'll cost you money. So maintain a positive relationship, positive attitude at all times. Positive relationships, absolutely critical to problem solving, to solve resolutions.
Absolutely.
Thank you for putting that on the list.
But also, I mean, I noticed this today because I went down to the gym today and I did a shoulder workout. And abs are killing me every day, but literally I went to the desk in the gym and I went to the two trainers who were there and I said, my two favorite people. And you should have seen these people's faces. They were so happy, right? Because I actually meant that, right? And this sort of positivity is actually infectious, right? Anthony Robbins, I don't like the guy too much, but he says that it is infectious, and he's completely right. And he talks about morning routine and actually being grateful in the morning. I believe massively in gratefulness. I think that if you get depressed and you're sad and you're upset about something and you haven't cultivated what you should be grateful for, because I tell you, anything you're going through right now, it can always be worse. Everything can always be worse, right? And the moment that you start to look for things, because the mind is very helpful. It's the happiest little helper you'll ever have, your mind. And if you look for things to be grateful for, your brain looks for more of those things. So every day, I try to be grateful for what I have. And I think if you look back over your life and you look back, say, even 5 years, even 2 years, or one even, and you say to yourself, well, I've got now what I was looking for 1 year ago, 2 years ago. I was thinking that I wanted to be in this position. Why am I not happy? And the reason you're not happy is because you are comparing yourself with other people. And perhaps you need to weaken your ambition slightly in order to remain happy. It doesn't mean you need to extinguish your goals. What it means is that you need to just keep calm. I think also a very important thing is to make sure that you keep an eye on your screen time on your phone. I think waking up in the morning, as we all do, and looking at our mobile phones, the first thing we do in the morning is something that, if you decide that it's not actually that important for you, perhaps stop doing it. Some people's lives have to revolve around their mobile phone first thing in the morning. Some people's lives don't. And I think that goes down to the corporate culture you're working in. It goes down to how you have previously behaved and what is really important to you. So I really appreciate your time, Stephen. And it's always been a pleasure. I hope we've packed enough information in there. And I hope that everyone listening, I hope you manage to keep control of your monkey minds. And if you do want to go and listen to any of our stuff, read Stephen's book, then do try and take a look at that if you have the time. And thank you very much.